The November 4th regular meeting of the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission will now come to order. If you will stand and we will do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. For staff, petitioners, and members of the public who are participating, our procedures will be as follows. The agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, the consent agenda, for which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with the staff recommendation and there are no known objections. This will be followed by the regular business, old business, and adjournment. For each agenda item on regular business, the staff will make a presentation. The staff presentation will then be followed by a presentation from the petitioner should they elect to do so. The petitioner will be allotted a time frame of no more than 20 minutes. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner or staff for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open for public comment. If you wish to comment on the item that the board is considering at the time, members of the public that are in person must fill out a speaker card and give it to staff. If you are participating virtually, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. Do not use the feature until the item you want to comment on is being considered. At the appropriate time, you will be recognized and staff will unmute your microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by the chair, your microphone will be muted and the chair will recognize the next speaker. The total public comment time will be less than or equivalent to the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, for those participating online, it is important that you use the raise your hand feature during the hearing on that item. If you want to speak on a petition, once the floor is closed, for public comment on a petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you are not certain you want to speak, still use the raise your hand feature, or if in person, fill out the speaker card. You will have the opportunity to decline when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity for rebuttal, then address any additional needed questions by the board. Finally, the board will take action. And our first item on the agenda is approval of the agenda.
Call this motion to approve the agenda.
All in favor, voice vote.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. There are no notices, proclamations, or acknowledgments. There are three items that were requested to be removed from the final agenda. The first is subdivision with variances 809 East 36th Street, number 24005191. -CA. Is there anyone here who wanted to speak on that topic? All right. We also have a map amendment rezoned from PBC to PB, Dean Forest Road at Ogeechee Road, Z-0924-000508. Is there anyone here to speak on that topic? All right. The final item is site plan variance for 0 Preston Drive, 24-004751-CA. Anyone here on that item? All right.
Call this motion to remove items 1 through 3 from the final agenda.
A voice vote, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. All right, there were several items on the consent agenda. The first of these is approval of the October 15th, 2024 meeting minutes. There is a master plan amendment for the reserve at Savannah Harbor. There is a major subdivision, Hidden Point Phase 2A, a major subdivision, Hidden Point Phase 2B, major subdivision, Hill Durance East Track, and the MPC holiday schedule. Is there any desire to take any of those off the consent agenda?
Call this motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor, voice vote. Any opposed? All right. There is no old business. Our first regular business item is a flume amendment 108-112 East Henry Street and 1210 Drayton Street. 24-005524-CA-FLUM, F-L-U-M. And Mr. Notrika is recusing himself on that one. If you go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, everyone. I am Subhashi Karunaratna, a planner from the MPC. I will be presenting the staff findings and recommendations for the FLUM amendment request for the properties 1210 Drayden Street, 108 East Henry Street, and 112 East Henry Street. I would like to enter the staff report for the record. The request is to change the existing FLUM designation of traditional neighborhood into traditional commercial. And this right here you're seeing is the street view of the subject parcels from 2022. The building on the left corner right here was used as a service station, and this right here was a warehouse. They both were built prior to the zoning ordinance implementation, and they are non-contributing, and they were demolished last year under a COA permit. And currently, the three parcels are vacant, and the applicant is proposing to use all the three parcels in combination as a surface parking facility. And if you look at the zoning, there are two parcels, which is right here in this corner, that are zoned to TC1. And there's one parcel here, which is zoned as TN1. And that is the vacant parcel, as you saw in the previous image. The applicant is also requesting, in addition to this FLUM amendment, for the last parcel right here to be rezoned to TC1, so that provides more consistency for the proposed use of the parking lot, and the MPC staff concur this week. And the requested FLUM amendment would further stabilize and support the existing and the requested zoning, and it also supports the character of the surrounding area. As you can see, there are lots of TC2, TC1 zoned parcels along Abercorn and Drayden Street. And if you look more closely to the development pattern of the surrounding, it is evident that development around here in the west of Drayden Street is zoned and is being used as commercial, and in close along Abercorn Street, that is again majority commercial, and it is also supported by the zoning. Since we are in a historic district, when buildings that are historic and contributing are repurposed, they receive a grandfathered parking credit. So that reduces the amount of off-street parking that otherwise is required. And so as a whole, it reduces the amount of parking that is available for the districts. Therefore, the proposal to use the parking lot is more suitable and is seen as a timely solution for this region. And if you look more closer to the existing use of the properties in the block phase, which is here, one of the three parcels of the subject parcels is TN1. And to the east of these three parcels, you have three other TN1 zoned parcels and one TC1 zone parcel, and all of these are traditional neighborhood right now, but this parcel right here and this right here are being used as SDVRs, and they are with permits, and SDVRs are more inclined as commercial uses than purely residential, so that narrows down the residential component in this block phase to only these two properties over here. And this can be viewed as a gradual conversion of this block face into a more commercial character. And based on these observations, MPC staff is actually denying the request of the applicant to just convert these three parcels into Flume designation traditional neighborhood, but instead convert the whole block face into traditional neighborhood Flume designation. With that, I would end the staff findings and recommendations. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Is the applicant here?
My name is Philip McCorkle. The write-up said Robert McCorkle, but he's out of town today, so came back from the dead to speak to you.
We're glad to see you.
We agree with the staff's recommendation. I think she said TN1. You say TC1, right? Traditional commercial is a requested Flume designation, or traditional commercial. I'm sorry, I get confused between Flume and zoning, but most of our properties are zoned commercial, but the Flume is going to be catching up with two of our three lots plus the rest of the block face. We didn't ask for that, but we agree with it. It's logical. And I'd be appreciate the staff's recommendation, and I'll be glad to answer any questions either now or during the zoning or during the special use.
All right. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I have a question for staff. If you go back to your previous slide.
This one?
No. Yes. That did I misunderstand, or did you say that the parcels, the other three parcels, they were already used in a commercial capacity now?
So this right here, this here are already TC1 and mm-hmm. they are commercial.
Right.
And this right here is also zoned as commercial and is used as an SDVR. The rest of it is residential right now.
What is it? What is used for now? What?
If you can see this 3 and 15 uh-huh. numbered, those are residential. And this number 4 is an SDVR.
I may have misunderstood. I thought it was short-term rental parcels on 15 and 3.
No, 3 and 15 are residential. They're not SDVRs.
Okay, so it's residential now?
Yes.
Okay.
Do we know if those are owner-occupied?
No, I'm sorry.
We don't know. Okay. Any other questions?
And the owners of 3 and 15, they reached out to the Historic District Neighborhood Association. Is that correct?
I believe I can't confirm that, but the Neighborhood Association did reach out to us and said that they were opposing the staff's recommendation to change the Flume of the whole block.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be consistent if, since you got everything there, should be commercial? Because that's what staff recommended initially?
Yes.
Okay.
More questions?
Yeah. Go ahead. You go ahead. Oh, I was just going to quickly ask, you said the Victorian Neighborhood Association reached out, but they didn't send a letter or anything? They just called to register
no,
there?
No, they actually did.
Oh, okay. I didn't see it in the packet. I'm sorry.
Let me pull that out. No, not that one. This right here.
I found it. Thank you very much.
Yep. Can you share, please?
Subhashi. Just turn off your presentation.
Right, I don't know this. There? Okay.
So they were not opposed to the parking lot and the rezoning.
It's in there. Okay. Don't
So I believe they are okay with everything the applicant asks, but not to the staff recommendation to extend the flume.
For the entire
amendment.
Plot?
Yes.
Okay. But if we were to approve the flume modification for the three lots that are involved here, we'd be okay. Okay. All right. We do have speaker cards here.
I have a, Madam Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Quick question for staff. Under the TC1, I think in the staff report, it showed the uses under the TC1 that's allowable. Did you have that readily available?
Yeah. Is there a particular one you're looking for?
No, I just wanted to clarify and see that it does still indeed permit the opportunity and the use of residential.
Yes.
Yes.
To confirm.
Yeah.
And actually have that essentially displayed as a part of the conversation that it does indeed allow for residential usage. And would you scroll down just a little bit more, please? Okay. All right. That's it. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Other questions? All right. I have three cards here. I have Deborah Lloyd Lewis. If you'd approach to come up to the podium and state your name for the record, please. Share your thoughts.
Hi. My name is Deborah Lloyd Lewis. I have property at the 100 block of East Duffy. And I have some questions that need to be addressed specifically if that's going to be suggested as a parking area. There have been over 14, I did get the information from the police department. There's already been 14 significant wrecks at Drayton and Henry from the year 22. And as of this month, there's been 14. Significant wrecks there. I wouldn't know which way there would be an entrance to the parking lot or if, there'd be an exit, because if you go right off Drayton Street, past Henry, there's already a cat shuttle there, that goes there every 10 minutes and it's from 7 o'clock in the morning till 7 in the afternoon. That's Monday through Friday. Then Saturday it's 10 to 6 or 7. I'm not sure. But I would hope that they would do a traffic engineer report of how this would affect that's a bad corner there, intersection. And how many floors would this be? Would it be a single floor? I mean, there's already a parking lot right over there at Whitaker and Park. It's been approved and it's going through 400 parking spots over there in
at
that area.
At this point in time, what he's talking about is a surface parking lot. So it
yes,
would just
ma'am.
Be,
so, but there would still be an issue of coming in and out.
Understood.
With that traffic.
Yes.
And then you've got a cat shuttle there and they're right there. The Duffy Lane is a fire lane, which is already complicated, in my opinion, because of, the trash cans and, there's one of the Airbnbs back there and everybody parks where they can. So it's kind of a mess in Duffy Lane. So, and let's see. But I would be really pushed to see how this would affect, traffic engineer. Get somebody in there to really look at that, especially with that coming in and out. Where would they go in? Where would they go out? I mean, and that's just a really bad intersection. So.
Understand.
Okay.
Unfortunately, that is the purview of the city of traffic engineering department. They would have to get the city traffic engineering department to sign off on their plan.
Oh, good. Okay. And And when I was reading the proposal, I didn't see any attachments, you know, to the petition for, you know, how they were going to do any kind of proposal or anything like that. And there was no exceptions checked off on it. It was just a petition. That's what I was just, I'm just a regular person, and I just didn't see what seemed like it should have been there already.
At this point, he's asking for zoning and special exception. We didn't really require a development plan for
it. Okay. I'm just jittery and asking.
Well, thank you for coming and talking.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead. Ma'am, could you come back up?
I have a question.
Oh, sorry.
You were saying that there's an Airbnb around there.
Yes, ma'am. It's 105.
Is 105?
Yes, ma'am. And they have like 20 people there in a, you know, it's upstairs, and it's a two-story townhome that was converted. And
is that on this same block that we're talking? Okay.
Yeah.
Was that lot 3?
I think it's.
Why don't we go back?
It's directly behind. It's directly behind that Airbnb.
Can we go back to the slide where it shows the
lot number?
It's a lot number one. I mean, it's not a lot number. It's 105 East Duffy.
Okay, it's 3. So it's number 3. That's the Airbnb.
Yes, ma'am. No,
actually, it's on Duffy.
Here's East Duffy.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Here's one. Wait. Oops.
This is the vacant lot.
Probably lot.
Okay. But it's, okay. I can't read.
Okay, thank you.
I can't read this, but it's directly behind the Airbnb. Any, is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All right. The next individual I have is Artis Wood. Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, how many parking spaces is this lot going to have?
Don't think that we have that determined.
So it could be 20 and it could be 60. We don't know.
It'll be more than 20, yes.
Good afternoon. My name is Artis Wood. It's interesting that when people fix up old houses, they are often accused of gentrification since the values rise and the less income earning folks have to leave. However, when investors rezone land from residential to commercial, they are hailed as improving the economy. I know people in this area who fought for 20 years to maintain their wonderful historic residential neighborhoods. The result was a good mix, use compromise. Commercial development would be allowed on the corners of arterial streets such as Drayton, but residential buildings must remain on the interior of blocks. This proposal clearly attempts to tip the balance by allowing commercial development to intrude further into residential space and set a precedent for more of the same. We must protect our unique, beautiful, historic residential neighborhoods, whether they're called Streetcar, Midtown, Thomas Square, Victorian. They all blend with this wonderful turn-of-the-century kind of places with lanes and with neighborhoods with full-time residences. To the request for placing all lots under one deed, say no. That's only asking for an out-of-scale commercial venture while diminishing this wonderful housing stock. Again, say no. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wood. Any questions for Ms. Wood? All right. Next card is Jim Hunsrecker.
Hello, my name is Jim Hunsrecker. This request for altering the future land use map goes against the thoughtful purpose of the ordinance for the Historic Victorian District, which states, the purpose of the Victorian Historic Overlay District is to promote the educational, cultural, and economic welfare of Savannah through the preservation of historic resources and to ensure that new construction, alterations, and additions are visually compatible with existing resources within the district. The current plan of residential zoning encourages such needed residential development instead of the nuisance of a vast, flat, commercial parking lot. Historically, Henry Street was lined with residential buildings. Encouraging residential living would return the integrity of this city block. Per the Victorian District, the residential use on this block should be encouraged and maintained. I'm a member of the Victorian Neighborhood Association and attend the meetings. This request has not been presented to the membership. A change of this magnitude would decimate the integrity of the block of the Victorian Historic District. Combining these lots or commercial as commercial is a slippery slope. For example, the No Hotel Extension Overlay 23-002729 stuck in limbo for over a year after costly assessment for renegotiation. This neighborhood-led restriction was favored by N2 surveys. The site would be at risk of a hotel. Hotels are not good neighbors, which has been my experience since 2005, living next to the mansion, now Bardo Hotel. You would not know me today without the need to police the impact of said hotel on the surrounding residential neighborhood. The current Kroger parking lot has been an enduring nuisance for neighbors since 1995. My recently departed 93-year-old neighbor, Ann Inglis, would have often tell me the trials presented with having a large parking lot and as a neighbor. She would cheer me on with neighbors, with our neighborhood effort. The applicant is yet to prove concretely that need for this speculative parking lot at Henry and Drayton. The recent preservation training provided to the board members with the MPC clearly stated the U.S. Constitutional that the U.S. Constitution enforces many strengths of Savannah's robust historic ordinances and therefore your need as a commission to protect our historic districts. Doing otherwise opens the city to costly litigation. The developer might rebuff about suing the city for simple acts of protecting our city ordinances. The training made clear that the city of Savannah is on solid ground, legal ground, to protect preservation-led efforts as in this case. I would like to encourage the developer to produce a thriving residential alternative.
Mr. Hunsrucker, your time is up.
Well, that's pretty much it. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I have also Emily Ayers.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
I'm here today because I'm a nosy citizen and I would love to give my opinions. I'm a local, community organizer, advocate, and environmentalist. And, I have been looking at that empty lot of land for a while. And what I've been doing lately is driving around and finding spots in the community that need to be revitalized and hopefully start coming to more of these and advocating for better use and purpose of it. And I think that the lot on Henry and Drayton would greatly benefit the community to have public parking because, and that's coming from an environmentalist. I looked at the lot. It's not really viable for gardening. And even if it was, realistically, that probably would not happen. We are in a housing crisis, so I understand people wanting it to be for housing in a historic neighborhood, but I truly believe that parking would benefit not only local residents, but people who are tourists and people coming to visit Savannah, because Forsyth Park is just going to keep getting more and more popular. That area is growing immensely. I've been going to events there, and I'm happy to see more concerts, more music festivals there. But parking is really not accessible. And unfortunately, we live in a society where public transportation is not super common. Although I do think the city of Savannah has great public transportation. A lot of my friends, we drive and we live all over the city, including Southside, Wilmington Island. But we go to Forsyth Park to commune and to gather on a regular basis. And I've heard over the years many times, like, we want to go to the farmer's market, but we don't want to deal with the traffic. We don't want to deal with trying to find parking in that area.
And I really do think that it would help the people who live there, who live in the historic homes there, because it's just an empty lot, could be used for parking, could be kind of condensed in that area, and it wouldn't bother the people living on the streets as much. It wouldn't bother people living in historic homes having people parking in front of their house. Let me look at my notes real quick to make sure I said everything I want to say.
I'm all messed up. And did you state your name for the record?
Emily Ayers, A-Y-E-R-S. Yeah, overall, I just think it would be the best interest for the community. And this is coming from a very anti-capitalist environmentalist. But I actually support the use for this being a parking lot. Thank you.
Any questions? All right. Would the applicant like to come up and?
Well, limiting my comments to just the flume extension and not the zoning or the special use. We think the staff's recommendation is good. I think it's good planning, but we also would be perfectly content, as you might imagine, with just our request being granted, which is the extension for our three lots. So thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to have some discussion because that paragraph from the BNA says they understand the proposed change to the flume, but they don't support changing the entire block to TC1. So I want to just be clear that flume and the zoning are not the same thing. TC1 is not part of the future land use. Future land use is the shading showing what the future land use would be. So it reads to me that they understand and are okay with the whole block being zoned to commercial for future land use purposes, but not the whole block being TC1. And I wish that we had someone here from the V&A to clarify that, but that's how I read that paragraph.
Seems reasonable. Any other comments? Go ahead, Mr. Stevens.
This is just me kind of expressing my thoughts here on.
We are on future land use.
Yeah. Kind of have a little bit of reservations on future land use driving and kind of pointing in the direction of making that entire block commercial. I know that this doesn't necessarily mean that it will absolutely end up commercial if nobody comes and requests the rezoning of those lots. However, it does draw a little bit of concern. Because it just makes the path and the road that much simpler to make it commercial in an area, in a space that was primarily residential. And quite frankly, I think is relatively fitting. And I will openly state that I am a little bit conflicted because I do realize that thoroughfare is a fast moving thoroughfare and perhaps residential may not be the most beneficial use or the safest use. But I guess I just wanted to kind of throw out those thoughts for point of discussion if there is any need or desire for further discussion amongst this dais.
Any other discussion? Comments?
I would just add to that I also have reservations about doing the whole block because commercial creep into residential areas. Like you said, this kind of makes it a little bit easier for the next block over to say, well, it's already here. Let's move a little further.
And I agree as well.
All right. I'm open to a motion.
Motion to approve staff recommendation for approval of future land use map amendment from traditional neighborhood to traditional commercial affecting all parcels on the east side of the subject block.
Second.
All right. I understand that to be all the parcels.
Yes, it says all parcels.
Okay.
On the east side of the subject block.
All right. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Urban?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Ms. Wilson?
No.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
No.
Mr. Wybody?
Yes.
All right. I too say no. Motion carries. All right. Our next agenda item is the rezoning of that particular parcel.
Madam Chair and members of the board, I'm Subhashika Ranaratne again, presenting the staff findings for zoning map amendment for the parcel 112 East Henry Street. The request is to rezone the zoning from traditional neighborhood 1 to traditional commercial 1. I would not go into the details again because it's the same. But I would like to mention that the MPC staff finds that the rezoning request is appropriate for the proposed use of the parking facility. And based on the findings, that the MPC staff recommends approval of the rezoning.
All right, thank you. Mr. McCorkle, do you want to add anything?
No.
All right. I have one question. Is there any evidence that there was ever anything on that lot that we are rezoning? Any building in the recent past? And I did see Mr. Hunsrucker's. Yes, and, but it shows as an F, and F would be, any idea?
So in the Sanborn maps in 1950s, it shows as empty, so I...
So it's been empty since the 50s, roughly?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right, and... would any of the folks who spoke earlier, I did see that Ms. Wood and Mr. Hunsrucker had this item on. Would y'all like to speak again?
Artist Wood, I'd just like some clarification. I thought you just changed the zoning for the whole block. Did I misunderstand?
The land use for the block.
The land use.
The future land use.
Okay.
Our future land use map showed the entire block as residential with the exception, well, I think even the property that's already commercial and the two properties that are commercial now were shown on our future land use map as residential. So it needed to be corrected for the two commercial lots and we just added the other lots as well.
I guess I'm not too with it. If you didn't change anything beyond what you've just done, how much commercial and how much residential would you have?
We'd have the two lots on the west side are already zoned commercial. The one lot on the far east side is zoned commercial.
Mm-hmm.
So right. Those in the middle are zoned TN.
They are staying residential.
Well, except for the one that is included in this project. Well, all of them, they're all staying residential at this point in time, but the future land use map has been changed so that they could come in and ask for rezoning as commercial and they wouldn't have to have the future land use map.
And that's
changed.
What they're doing now?
Right now, what we're doing is we're rezoning the one lot involved in this project to commercial.
Okay. Well, that really says the future will definitely be commercial in the long term because that parking lot, nice to have parking, but that's not going to stay parking. That's going to be developed. So, again, if not in this instance, I hope that we will not be nibbled away to commercial because that's sort of the standard. It's always, we'll have more tax base, you know, and all of that. But they bring other things. They bring noise. They bring traffic. They bring people in and out all the time. Let's protect what we have that's so special. Thank you.
I understand. Thank you. Mr. Hunsrucker?
Jim Hanschrucker. I would simply like to enforce the need to restrict this until the agreement is made between the hotel overlay and the no hotel overlay, whenever that appears. That's been requested by the Victorian Neighborhood Association, although this has not been presented to the Victorian Neighborhood Association group at any meeting. As far as the changing of this lot, as you see, there have historically, this was a historically a residential neighborhood until the 1940s when the Sears store was put in. It bulldozed hundreds of houses in order to create this commercial district. So yes, and improving historically, the Victorian neighborhood group that influenced the future land map did want to have future housing. There are hundreds of houses that face Henry Street up and down. So opposing it because of traffic, you know, I think that's a mistake for the future of the Savannah, because you're losing a vital residential neighborhood for people to live in. So I ask that you oppose this changing in zoning. Thank you.
All right. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Just looking at the, I looked
she'd
up.
She'd only
this.
Signed up for the one.
Oh.
Well, she signed up for rezoning. If she did sign up for rezoning, go ahead. I'll let you come up. Ms. Lewis, you didn't sign up for rezoning. You signed up for parking. I'll go ahead and let you speak.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm not real sure about this, but I think maybe it was a year or two ago that the previous owner of the...
State your name for the record. Oh, I'm sorry.
Deborah Lloyd Lewis. The previous owner to the property, Mr. Chu, he wanted to put in a convenience store, and that was shot down by the HSF and by the city commission. Thank you. And I think this would be just, you know, just another little way to get into another kind of commercial building over there. That would just be just a little step into it. I'm completely opposed to it. There's enough congestion over there. It's just too much. And I think it would be a great place for residential to expand from there.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I mean, thanks, everybody.
And Ms. Ayers, we're going to let Ms. Ayers come up and speak too.
I think that even I'm Emily Ayers. I think that even if we did use it for residential, it's not going to be affordable. I can't, like, my friends and I cannot afford to live there, and we're all working class people. I really think that making it into a parking lot would help prevent making it into a hotel, into a convenience store. I think it would weirdly protect that from being more developed, because again, parking is such a need. Like, once it's a parking lot, I really don't foresee it becoming something else. I think that it could be very profitable. And I also, I'm not sure if anyone lives on that lot or that land right now, but if no one is being displaced, I personally think that it should fully be commercial. And again, I'm against gentrification. I'm not, usually wouldn't advocate for a parking lot like this, but I think that as long as no one is being displaced from their homes, that it would make the most sense to just do fully commercial. And I don't think that it would bleed over, because from my understanding, you guys call the shots, so it would be up to you guys anyways. Yeah, I'm just really advocating for that parking, so that I just think it would be a great addition to the city. I think it would help everyone. I think it would benefit everyone involved.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, sorry.
No, I just wanted to clarify, based off of the information that Mr. Hunsrucker presented from the 1916 Sanborn map, I went to pulled up the key for that. That F appears to simply represent flat, whatever that may mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. But yeah, that's showing flat, and the rest of that block does indeed from the 1916 sandboard clearly show dwelling. However, I do want to raise the point that under the use of TC1, residential is absolutely still a use that is by right up to, what do you call it? 3 to 4 family, even apartment if it made sense. But obviously it's that one of those single lots simply would not be able to achieve apartment, if you will, in the sense that we know it. But on the other side of that, there are numerous uses in there that absolutely could be of great benefit to the surrounding residential. And again, we are not right now, we're only looking at rezoning this one lot that's brought forward by the petitioner, and all subsequent lots, even with the just approved flume update going to TC1, even with that, we would still have to review and see any other petition that came before us for some level of rezoning. So I really just wanted to raise those points. Number one, to clarify the question as to what the F meant on the Sanborn map, but to also let the public know that those uses of residential are still permitted under the TC1.
Yeah. Just to clarify as well that if anyone were to come back with a hotel, that's a special use. So that would still have to get separate authorization. We're not changing the zoning to allow a hotel. That hotel would still have to come back if that is indeed what their ultimate goal is.
Go ahead, Mr. Milder.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. A question for staff. Were there any uses in the TC district that had any concern to staff for this rezoning?
The hotel was one, and the fuel stations, but they all need special permits. So it will go through the process again.
Mm-hmm. Was there any discussion about a recommendation for a condition to further limit any of those uses that were concerned to MPC staff?
So we're still in the rezoning portion of this. There's the next item that goes to the special use. So it's actually attached to that recommendation on the next item.
But we've recommended conditions on rezonings before, correct?
No. So this is the special use item, and it has the condition attached to that. If it is going to be a different use, that it's going to come back to the city council.
But we could recommend a special use or a restriction of uses on the rezoning, couldn't we?
Oh, yes, yes. Sorry, I didn't understand that clearly.
All right, anything else? Okay, so any discussion? Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's all right, I appreciate all the comments. Now, what was that last question? This is gonna be approved if it's approved for rezoning. And the parking lot is a special use.
It is a special use.
And any other special uses still have to go through the process.
But if the commission chose to not allow a gas station in the future or a hotel in the future, we could make that as a restriction to the zoning.
That's fine. Things have changed since I started this, because that was not ever done for the decades that I've practiced law. And if that's what you're doing now, then that's what you're doing now. Whether that's enforceable or not, I don't know. But, I mean, it's what you're doing. Back to the actual rezoning question. Again, not talking about the parking lot. Talking about the rezoning. It's just one lot. It's been vacant for decades, scores of years. Next to it is a short-term vacation rental, which is a commercial use. The possibility of building a viable residential use on that lot as a standalone lot are non-existent. I think everybody recognizes that. So I think the zoning is the recommendation is a good one, and we appreciate it and ask that it be approved. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Any discussion? Go ahead, Mr. Plunk.
I motion that we approve staff recommendation.
Second.
Even a second.
All right. I have a motion and a second. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Irvin?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Mr. Y. Woody?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Right. How did I skip you, Ms. Wilson?
Yes.
Oh. All right. Got you now. All right. That takes us to our final agenda item, which is the special use parking facility request.
Madam Chair and the members of the board, I'm Subhashi Karnaratna again. So this is the final request for these three parcels. That's the special use permit. The petitioner is requesting approval of a special use permit to build the parking facility. And a parking facility is an off-street parking area that is not accessory to the principal use according to the zoning ordinance. And according to section 8.6.2, in downtown districts, parking facilities shall be screened from streets with a combination of a masonry wall, decorative fencing, and landscaping, and that is deemed appropriate. Although these three parcels are not in the downtown historic district, this is in the Victorian, the staff would like to recommend that these masonry walls or decorative fencing or landscaping should be used to this parking lot as well. And this is, again, the picture of the place that we are looking at. And I believe the curb cuts will be towards the Drayton Street, and these will be closed. And with that, the staff recommends approval for the permit and will also propose the condition. The requested special use shall consist only of a surface parking lot. Any expansion of the parking facility shall require review and approval by the city council. Thank you. Be happy to answer your question.
All right, thank you. And the applicant?
Only one thing, there was a mention in the staff write-up that might be appropriate for the applicant to understand that there will be some screening and buffering required, and it is in the Victorian district. And then, as a matter of fact, you have to go before the Historic Preservation Commission, and they have rules written into the ordinance about parking lot buffering requiring a 3-foot high wall plus landscaping between the wall and the sidewalk to soften the look of the wall. So certainly that commission is pretty tough, and they'll require at least the minimum of what the ordinance requires. So the parking lot will be, most people drive by that corner that live in Savannah, you know what all the parking lots look like. They're dirt, they're unimproved, they're not buffered. It's tough looking. Ours will be like an oasis of parking lots, of all the parking lots there. Now, one other comment, this young lady has pointed out, you need parking in this area. If you didn't have the parking lot at Kroger, you wouldn't have a Kroger. Where would people shop for groceries downtown? You gotta have parking lots. There's a 6,500 square foot restaurant being renovated now, the old AME church building on Abercorn, which is right at the end of the lane between Duffy and Henry. Those people, they got 6 parking spaces. They were grandfathered. Those folks got to park somewhere. And frankly, this would be a good place for them to park, in my client's opinion. And I don't want to mislead anybody. He did not buy this property for it to remain a parking lot for eternity. The things are changing in the Victoria District, particularly in the commercial area near the park. Someday something will happen with Sears Building and other places like that. And so there will be opportunity in the future for some type of mixed-use commercial. TC1 allows good uses for communities. where people could walk to the commercial activity. So it could be something else. But for the foreseeable future, he wants a really nice parking lot, and he does think it would be a benefit to the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Go ahead.
I was, if I could get some clarity on the staff report that mentioned, perhaps I didn't follow, the requirements for parking for the downtown districts, but this is not a downtown district. So what would, I know that Mr. McCorkle ran through a few, but what would be the governing ordinances over the design standards for a surface parking lot in this district?
So we're not asking to implement the downtown rules to this parking lot, but it's just to make the parking lot aesthetic merge with the existing character. So it's not to go through all the HPC requirements, but just to make it more merging with the existing.
So are we adding that as a condition?
No, we're not.
It's
just a recommendation.
So staff is just bringing it up as a recommendation.
Yeah. So the only condition here is that if the use change, that should come through the board here.
Yeah. Would the petitioner be friendly to a condition that match the design standards of a surface parking lot to that of downtown districts?
Well, to answer the original question, Mr. Melville, the Victoria Historic Overlay District has rules, and that's what I ran through. If it's a parking lot over 30 feet, which it certainly is, there'll be a 36-inch high wall placed parallel to the building facade along the parking lot in order to screen vehicles. Shrubs that are anticipated to grow to a height of not less than 36 inches shall be planted between the wall and the adjacent sidewall. So that's the rule that exists for the Victorian District.
Thank you. Is that how MPC staff understands that, that there are design standards for surface parking lots within this district? Okay. Are there any design standards that were apparent in the downtown district? I'm trying to get a sense of why the staff presentation mentioned the downtown districts, if there were anything different between the downtown district design standards and the Victorian neighborhood design standards that you thought might be important for this lot?
So the motive behind that clause is to make this place more walkable and have like a sidewalk to walk, and then the cars are not disturbing the neighborhood and people walking in the place. So it's not exactly setting a strict standard. It's just saying, just make it more pedestrian friendly and match the character of the neighborhood.
We're just saying that in hopes that they do it.
Yes.
By any?
No. Yeah.
Any insurances that they would have to? Okay.
That's not what I thought Mr. McCorkle said. He said it would, the district, Victorian district has certain requirements and they would live up to those requirements. Is that correct? Or did I hit wrong?
That's correct. It's in the order. We will certainly not expect there.
Mr. McCorkle, we'll need you to step up there and repeat that so it'll be on the recording.
Mr. Kegler, that is correct. It's in the ordinance. The only way to avoid that would be ask for a variance. We would not ask for a variance. You put that in the record. We will live up to those standards that are in the ordinance.
And I'm sure, Mr. McCorkle, you're absolutely correct. I just wanted to have a verification from our staff that was their understanding as well.
Don't always Thank be you. Sure that I'm correct.
Thank you.
I understand you're out there in cyberspace somewhere. Are you with us still?
Madam Chair, I'm here. How you doing?
Could you clarify at least one thing for me?
Absolutely.
And then I'll let other folks have a stab at it. Can you tell me if there was a requirement to meet with the Victorian Neighborhood Association?
For the purposes of rezoning, yes, ma'am, there is a need to meet with the neighborhood association. We were informed by the applicant that they had made efforts to reach out to the neighborhood association, but that the opportunity to meet was declined. This morning, I did speak with Ms. Maya, and she followed up with an email, which is posted to the agenda.
Yes, we got the email. Okay, so the neighborhood association was given the opportunity to meet and they turned it down.
That is my understanding from Mr. McCorkle.
I think Mr. McCorkle is going to clarify for us.
I can give you hearsay. Robert McCorkle told me that that's what occurred. I did not speak to the lady who was president of the association. He did. She spoke to her board and they thought, I think what was written and read earlier, looked at earlier, expressed their sentiments, and they did not see a need for a meeting of the entire association.
All right. Thank you. I'm sorry, Ms. Wood. Hold on. The other issue is the design standards for a parking lot at this location. Do you know what the Victorian neighborhood design standards are for this parking lot?
Unfortunately, I'm not confident, but what has been said is correct, that it will be required to meet the overlay standards and not those of base zoning. That was a poor reference on my part. My apologies. The specific use criteria point to the downtown standards. That's why that was the first point of reference. But where there's an overlay, the stricter overlay standards do supersede. And so in this case, that is within the purview of the HPC.
I think Jonathan's up here to help us out, Mr. Mellon. I'm sorry.
Hey, Edward. Hope you're feeling better. Yes. So as Mr. McCorkle noted in the Victorian Historic District, it says, he just read this, where a parking lot extends over 30 feet in length along any street, a 36-inch high wall shall be placed parallel to the building facade along the parking lot in order to screen vehicles. Shrubs that are anticipated to grow to a height of less than 36 inches shall be planted between the wall and the adjacent sidewalk. So there is a requirement.
Thank you.
It would have to go to HPC.
Okay, thank you. And if we can make these very brief, Ms. Woods, I'll give you the opportunity to speak very briefly, please.
Thank you. I don't think I blab too much. I hope not. Artist Wood, as chair of Scenic Chatham, we have a very strong desire, as does the Tree Foundation and the Downtown Neighborhood Association, to have our blocks framed with tree lawns. So I think we want to remember that on the other side of the sidewalk, and I think in that photo, I don't know if you've got it on your laptop. Okay. Notice a nice tree lawn. So please, if there's a way to work that into not just if you can, but some sort of requirement for a tree lawn with trees, and we will get a lot of help from neighbors to help you implement that. Thank you.
Understand. Thank you. Ms. Lewis, would you like to share again? Very briefly. Wait, till you get to the microphone, please. And state your name for the record.
Deborah Lloyd Lewis. I'm just concerned, where are they going to close off and where's the entrance going to be?
And we do not have that information. But
okay.
That will still have to go through traffic engineering, and they'll have to get traffic engineering approval before they can do anything.
Okay. And was there how many lots, parking lots?
We don't know.
We don't know yet. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Hunsrucker, very briefly.
I'll do it.
Hi, Jim Hunsrucker. I would like to make a couple recommendations. One is, we do have problems with flooding in the area, so I would like water retention system to be included in the design. Also, this is a great time for the city and the developer to get together and improve the sidewalk. The sidewalk is a beautiful rundown concrete looking sidewalk. It would be a great time for that improvement. And that's it.
Thank you. All right, one more. We have Mr. Chase Rosen online. Mr.
Yes,
Rosen,
hello.
Are you there? Could you state your name for the record, please?
Yes. Hello, this is Andrew Chase Rosen.
and I just wanted to speak in opposition to the special use. I don't see the need for it as a county resident who parks in this exact area three, four times a month at a minimum. I don't ever struggle to find parking. I understand that I may be the exception and everyone has their stories, especially the residents. But as someone who was there in the middle of the parade that we just had and in the middle of Pride Festival with the farmers market, I didn't have any trouble parking downtown. It's two blocks away from where we're about to get a new parking garage, which I think is, I not only oppose that garage, but I find the whole thing unethical. And it's just not a best or highest use. It's not a good investment for the city. Frankly, I don't think it's a good investment for the landowner, but that's not my decision to make either. I just oppose this because it promotes a car-centric culture, one that continues this myth that we need an excess of parking for so many special uses when there's no science to back this up, one that perpetuates excessive pollution, excessive driving, including the creation of microplastics, which tires are a top source of. There are countless negatives that come with car culture in general and that come from parking facilities specifically. So I have to say I oppose this and I don't see the utility in it. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I think Mr. McCorkle, you want to come up and okay. Any discussion?
Just a point of clarification. Mr. Melder, the sidewalks would fall under the city's right of way as well as the tree lawns, correct?
They would. The tree lawns are the responsibility of the adjacent property owners.
Gotcha. But to, as far as improving the sidewalks, that would be something the city would be.
Yes, but a very good recommendation from Mr. Hutchrecker.
Anything else?
Somebody mentioned earlier about putting a restriction on this, limiting it, not allowing a hotel.
We actually have already gone past the zoning. We're okay. Now in the special use for, they'll have to come back. If they want a hotel, they'll have to come back to us. Mr. Stevens?
I just want to get clarification because I thought in the discussion we said that that component was going to be with the special use side of it if we were to put that restriction. I understand we've passed the zoning, but I think if anybody wanted to make that recommendation, they opted to forego it in that one because it sounded as if in the discussion that it was going to be on this component. Wrong?
I don't think that we can condition not using a special use when allowing a special use. That would have had to have been during the zoning portion.
Okay. I just want to make sure. But I just wanted to clarify based off of the discussion that we were having.
Yeah.
But, you know, even still, I think, if I'm not mistaken, hotel in this instance would be special use anyway.
Yes, it would.
So we would have to see.
It would essentially be the same thing correct. That we're doing right now.
All right. I'm open for a motion.
Cole's motion to approve staff's recommendation for the special use to also encourage the developer to work with the city to repair or replace the sidewalks.
Second. Do you have a second?
I'll second the motion.
All right. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Irvin? Oh, Mr. Irvin's left. Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Ms. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Wywoody?
Yes.
I too say yes. All right, motion passes. And I do believe that is a wrap. Now, either that or we can... There is a question on whether we actually elected our slate of officers for next year or not, and I thought we had, but if you guys are interested in moving forward with that, or let me know what you think.
When did we elect?
Last meeting, and my understanding was that we announced the slate, and then we voted on the slate.
But we can...
Oh, I was confused about... I thought that we...
that voted to accept the slate.
Voted to accept the slate.
Yeah, okay. I think that's where the confusion came in. Would someone like to make a motion?
Would we mind just, I know I'm probably the one that was missing and I didn't see it.
It was the same slate of officers that we have just had.
Okay. All right.
I will be chair. Travis will be co-chair, vice chair. And Lauren will be treasurer, and Mr. Wawoody will be the secretary.
I suppose I'll still be hanging around this past year.
I think so.
Okay, that's fine.
Lucky guy.
No problem. No problem.
You want to make a motion?
I make a motion to move to approve the nominated officers to serve in those positions for the following year.
A second.
All right. All in favor, voice vote.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Good deal. And do I have a motion to adjourn?
Cole's motion.
A second? All in favor? As you walk away from me. Thank you.